A reading from the first book of Kings. At the mountain of God, Horeb, Elijah came to a cave where he took shelter. Then the Lord said to him, "Go outside and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord will be passing by." A strong and heavy wind was rending the mountains and crushing rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a tiny whispering sound. When he heard this, Elijah hid his face in his cloak and went and stood at the entrance of the cave. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I speak the truth in Christ. I do not lie. My conscience joins with the Holy Spirit in bearing me witness that I have great sorrow and constant anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites. Theirs the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. Theirs the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is over all. God blessed forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Oh, yeah. brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. When he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
And how are you?
Blessed.
We're going to go on two different directions at this homily, just so you know ahead of time. But first, I want to go to the second reading. And here, as I've talked about many times, this is St. Paul, one of our great saints. He's over there with the sword, of course, because the Word of God is a sword, so he's the one at the bottom there. Anyway, he goes and he says, let's say exactly what he says. "I speak the truth. I do not lie. My conscience joins with the Holy Spirit in bearing me witness that I have great sorrow and constant anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people." So here's Paul saying that he would wish to be separated from Christ if he could bring others to salvation. Huh? Again, as I talked about before, a priest called me once and says, "I think you're getting soft." And you all think the same thing, right? I'm getting soft as I get older. Anyway, but he says, and then we go back and forth, and I said, "How long have you been ordained?" He says, "1 year." "And how long have you been a pastor yet?" "No." I says, "Father, would you be willing to go to hell so other people could go to heaven?" "Absolutely not." And I said, "Oh, St. Paul said he would," and this is where he said it, that he had anguish of heart constantly for those who weren't saved. He was other-centered. So when we come to what we're going to get about prayer, our prayer must always be filled with others, with generosity. About not just me getting to heaven, but my family getting to heaven, my neighbors getting to heaven. Again, as I've told you a million times, you know you're finally getting to be a half-decent Christian when you hope and pray the person you hate the most sits next to you forever in heaven. Isn't that great? Think about the person you hate the most on this earth. Do, 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 do. Do you hope and pray they get to sit next to you forever in heaven? No, I'd rather my spouse, I'd rather my kids, I'd rather... No, no, no. We love God as much as the person we like the least. Right there. Is that where we're at? And again, if it's not, that's okay. But you need to say, "God, that's where I want to be. I want my prayer not to be selfish. I want my prayer to be generous in praying and doing things for other people to get them saved. I'll trust in you to get me saved, but I'm going to sit there and make sure I'll do everything in my power to do your will." So first, when we come to prayer, we must have a generous spirit, a generous heart, to do everything, to want everyone else to be saved. But then we get to the gospel and the first reading. And the first reading, again, here is, if you ever read 1 Kings, you know that this is right after he did the great thing, you know, and he calls the fire down, and then he slays all the other false prophets. And then Jezebel, you know that Jezebel, wants to kill him. So he runs. And now he's feeling discouraged and depressed. He wants to die. And then God, he goes by himself, and then God says, you go out there, and I'm going to speak to you. And so he goes out, comes out of the cave, and there's a storm, and there's a fire, and there's an earthquake, and God wasn't in any of those things. Then a whispering sound came, and there God was. One of my old kids, good friend who's newly ordained, a couple years now, he texted me the other day and says, okay, Father, you have any nuggets for this week's homily? And he says, what I remember most, because he's been up here many times, is when I was thinking of the first reading, I was thinking of your chapel, because you have next to it, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, verse 10. And he says, now, Father, I'm silent. I spend silence every day when I go do my hoyar. It's good he does a hoyar. And I said, responded back, silence isn't enough. Why? Because you can be silent and filled with fear. You can be silent and not listen. You can be silent. Silence isn't enough. When it talks about be still, it's more than just being silent in front of him. It's more than just shutting up. We got to be mindful. Now, not the Buddhist mindfulness, but a Christian mindfulness. That means that we become present to this moment. We don't focus on the past. We don't focus on the future. The past is gone. The future isn't promised. The only thing we ever have is now. And so when you take silence and join it with mindfulness, that what's happening, you become truly present at that moment. That right now all the angels and saints are bowing down in worship of Almighty God. I am in the presence of God. And you become mindful of that, then God can speak to you, because your mind isn't going 1,000 different directions in the past and feeling guilty about everything you've ever done, in the future feeling afraid of everything that's going to come. The only thing you got when you're in prayer is now. And so you must be mindful and silent. And then God will speak to you, not in craziness, but in a whisper, in silence, that whisper. But you and I need to be mindful and silent for that to happen. So we start off with this generosity, and then we're mindful and silent. And what does God say to us? Well, that's where we get. So people are in storms, and when we go in front of the Adoration Chapel and we go before the God of the universe, and whenever we go to pray, we usually have storms around us, don't we? You know, there's always something we're worried about. Something. Even Paul's saying he was worried about all these things. But when you and I become silent and mindful and generous, then God appears to us in the middle of the storm. And he says, take courage. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, who of us wants to hear that? Right? Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. God will speak that to you when you have that generous heart. It's not all about me, and you're mindful, and you're listening, and you're present, and then God can, in the midst of your storm, you're not worried about here, you're not worried about there, you're just looking at him now, and then he can say, it is I, take courage, be not afraid. And then sometimes we get all excited. Okay, God, let me walk on the water. I can do anything, anything now. Thank you for speaking to me. And then we start walking on the water. And then, of course, instead of looking at Jesus, not being mindful of Jesus, like Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection. You ever hear of Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection? I'd encourage you, if you've never read the book, get the book. It's a very, very thin, simple book. Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. The Practice of the Presence of God. And so he was a brother, and he washed dishes, cleaned the floor. But what he did is he always became present, that no matter what I am doing, Jesus is with me. And so he's washing the dishes, becoming mindful, becoming silent. Jesus is right here with me. And then when you and I are doing that, we can walk on water spiritually, if you will. And when we get caught up in the storm again, we start looking to the past, we start looking at the storm around us, we start looking at ourselves and our own weaknesses, then we fall. And then all we have to do, Jesus, save me, start focusing on Jesus again. And then we're lifted up. So today, God's trying to tell us, again, how to pray, and not just how to pray, but how to live. That when we're praying, we need to be silent and mindful. We need to be focused on Him so we can hear God when He speaks. And then we need to have this generous spirit that it's not just about me and my salvation, but I want to bring everybody with me, God. I want to bring everybody with me. And then God will speak to us as long as we stay focused. And He'll tell us, don't be afraid. I am here. It is I. And then every day, for the rest of the day, we need to try to stay focused on the presence of God. And if you struggle with that, then get that book. You can read it in 2 hours. You could read it in probably in an hour. And Brother Lawrence will give you some very practical, good ways to do that. And of course, he has to be great at it. He has a great name. So you sit there and you get that little book, Practice of the Presence of God, so your prayer isn't just when you're in the chapel or you're 2 minutes in the morning. Your prayer is always. You got it? You get it? You gonna live it? May each of you know His love today and forever. Amen. Now,